This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thanks for staying with us on The Morning Run. You're with Julian Ng, Lin Mark and Sharad Abdullah. Now, users of Netflix and Spotify, you will have to brace yourself because the government plans to impose digital tax of 6% on all these services, foreign digital services, by January 1st, 2020.
Yes, so this is keeping up with the digital economy and broadening our local tax reach. So right now, only local digital services are required to pay a service tax, which is the sales and service tax, so the SST. But the Deputy Finance Minister has said that this new digital tax will be able to provide a level playing field amongst local and foreign companies. And he's justified that the rate of 6% was relatively low. So compared to 25% in Norway, 18% in Russia, and of course, Malaysia is the second Southeast Asian nation to introduce a digital tax after Singapore.
Yes. So what is a digital service? I think that would be some, you know, that would be a question a lot of us are probably considering. So it's any service that is delivered over the internet which can't be obtained without the use of information technology. So any person of whatever nationality, citizenship, beyond the geographical limits and territorial waters of Malaysia, if the person is a foreign service provider. So those are digital service providers.
Yeah, I think that Finance Minister Lim Guan Eng is going to be pretty serious about this because he needs to make up that 20 billion gap that was caused by the migration of GST to SST. We have a 20 billion ringgit shortfall. So whatever help we can get in terms of broadening the tax base in Malaysia would be good for our budget and for our nation. But I can't help feeling that this digital tax is going to be another tax on the middle income group or even the lower income group, because these are very small ticket items that are spent by household on Netflix and Spotify and so on. I understand that argument about leveling the playing field because the local digital providers are already paying SST, but we want more ideas to tax the higher income, and not only that, to redistribute the taxation from the higher income group to the lower income group, right? I mean, we all want more money in our pockets, right? Who doesn't want that?
But is this necessarily going to affect lower income groups? For example, like a Netflix subscription is 40, 50 ringgit a month. Is that necessarily something that is taxing that and adding an extra 6 ringgit? It would seem that this is something that only a middle income sort of household will be able to afford, because otherwise, why would you? What lower income household would spend 50 ringgit on a video subscription service? So it seems as if it is going to tax them.
It is really going to make it slightly more expensive for them to the extent of a 6% inflation rate at the start, and basically it. Also a question of how these taxes are going to be used, and that's a more macro consideration. Mm-hmm. For example, the petrol subsidy is not an efficient subsidy, right? Because a lot of people with their two BMWs and three Mercedeses will go up there and, I think there are certain rulings as to what kind of cars can pump at the petrol station. But this also raises the administrative nightmare of trying to control the whole thing. Nevertheless, it's not a good idea to give a petrol subsidy, because it's better to tax everybody and then redistribute, right? Toll roads is another example. If you're going to spend 10, 50, or 100 billion buying over the toll roads, then the question becomes whether you can spend those money, the same money that you would use for the acquisitions, to redirect that into the families that need them the most.
Yeah, so looking at this, I mean, government, as you said, I mean, there is a 20 billion gap that they have to fill with regard when they started abolishing the GST. And looking at the numbers, Netflix user in Malaysia, we're speaking just over 300,000 subscribers, and we don't know how many more for Netflix. So it could be, potential revenue source for the government. And again, I tend to, you know, wonder whether what Lin was saying has basis, especially with Netflix being an item that is probably not a must-have, but probably a good-to-have item. And I think B40 at a rate of 30 ringgit is something that they would consider, you know, quite
expensive.
Yeah, quite expensive.
Yeah, what about Grab? Because when you go onto your Grab bill history, you don't see a line for SST, right? So would this very much needed transportation item be taxed, and would we see some inflation over there?
I think that's still a question that's in everyone's minds at the moment, because it's not entirely clear what is going to incur this digital tax and what isn't. One of the other interesting things is that this new digital tax is likely to cover so B2B services too, like advertising on Facebook and Google. Now, if you consider that the Deputy Finance Minister said that the tax would increase competition for local players, and you contrast that with this, with the fact that it's going to make advertising more expensive, it is going to negatively impact startups and SMEs that will have to incur a lot more in order to advertise on platforms like Facebook, Google, Instagram. And there was a lot of discussion amongst local technopreneurs about this in WhatsApp groups last year, I believe.
That's right. Not to mention all those freelancers and people in the gig economy who use digital platforms for their income. So you have a situation where the provider like Google or Facebook will pass the threshold of 500,000 ringgit in revenue before they start paying the taxes. But that passing by the big company also affects the people who, you know, the small business people who are doing business online. So this is quite interesting. And I think the government should do well to really see what they can do to help something that is growing and something that's young and monetizable. All right, the other big news that we have is the Rantau by-election, which is happening this Saturday, April the 13th. Early voting will start today. 110 of the 118 early voters are expected to cast their votes, made up of army personnel and spouses, as well as police.
Yes, and we are looking at a four-cornered fight. So, of course, we have UMNO heavyweight Deputy President and former Negeri Sembilan Menteri Besar, Datuk Sri Muhammad Hassan of Barisan Nasional. We have anaesthetist Dr. S. Sriram of Pakatan Harapan, independent candidate R. Malarvizi, and another independent, Muhammad Nur Yassin. So, we are speaking to Dr. Hamidin Abdulhamid, a research fellow at research firm Ilham Centre, on his expectations of the by-election results.
So, good morning, Dr. Hamidin. So, Hassan has held the Rantau seat since the general elections in 2004. What is the probability of Pakatan Harapan snatching this away from him?
Well, morning, guys. I think so far our observations and preliminary research show that it is still, Rantau is still for grab for both party, Pakatan and Barisan Nasional. But at the same time, we notice quite considerably that Tok Mat is leading in Pakatan. I think at the same time, we see Pakatan Harapan machinery, particularly PKR, is working very hard, penetrating some areas that they think strategically belong to Barisan Nasional before, and then they have a confidence to penetrate that, especially in some Malay areas. So I think in general, 4 days to go, the campaigning is very intensified in the last couple of days coming. We noticed that. But still for grab, for both. But for us, when we look in the ground, Tok Mat still have an advantage of retaining Rantau seat.
Now, Dr. Hamidin, what are some of the key issues that will, you know, sort of sway voters in Rantau?
Okay, I think typically some of the vote issues that's close to heart of the voters in Rantau, similar to Semenyih and similar to Cameron Highland, is basically the issues of basic cost of living. I think talking about income, talking about infrastructure, development, schools, and others. I think that is the basic issues that always been something that been talked by the people, demanded by them in the campaign trial. But at the same time, we notice some national issues of corruption, so the previous government, issues of personality do attract voters in Rantau.
Now, Dr. Hamidin, I'm just curious as to whether, when in your observations of Rantau, whether you are seeing the sort of race rhetoric that has been characteristic of other by-elections so far.
I think we are not surprised when we look at the Rantau. It's still there, but the tone and the language of the race rhetoric is very much lower if we compare to Cameron Highland and Semenyih. I think basically both parties realize, especially for Barisan Nasional, that because the composition of the demography in Rantau is slightly different, I think, compared to Cameron Highland and Semenyih. We do notice issues of ethnic and religion still play a role. For example, for the past couple of days, the issues of Tabung Haji make a very strong comment and respond on the ground. So, but at the same time, we notice not many kind of drama or what we call it a political gathering, small political gathering that discuss or what we call it hush-hush campaign about race and religions compared to Semenye. So I think Rantau, because the composition of demography make both party, especially Barisan Nasional, I think especially Barisan Nasional, try to not go into the rhetoric as much as in Semenye and Cameron Highland.
Doctor, what about the Najib factor? We noticed that he did not have a stigma on the previous two by-elections, but his trial is on right now. Will this affect things?
Yeah, I think Najib still tried to do some round in Rantau, but I don't think the response as expected as in Semenye, for example, and also in Cameron Highland. He did some tour in Sendayan, but the response is not that good. In fact, from our observation, the local machinery of Barisan Nasional tried to distance themselves from Najib in this in the Rantau by election. So I don't think, and at the same time, as I said just now, while people's the local issues, the cost of living issues is still dominating, but at the same time, the issues of Najib trials also still a hot issues in the coffee shop.
All right, thank you very much, Dr. Hamidin. We are breaking off for news right now. Thanks for joining us. And that was Dr. Hamidin Abdul Hamid, Research Fellow at the Ilham Centre, talking to us on the Rantau by-election, which will prove to be very interesting because it has about only 54% Malay population and a significant Indian population. We'll be back with more discussions after the news. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.